whereby we must be saved. Aren't you glad for that precious name of Jesus? It is such an honor to be here, and I had not a clue that I would be in church anywhere tonight. I'm supposed to be unloading my van at my mother's house. There's an old sideboard that came in a covered wagon from Ohio to Oregon, where my mother was born. And it's been there for many years, and it was given to my mother, and it's taken until I was 54 years old to try to get it from Oregon down to California to where she lives. What is bad is that my mother is at my house visiting, and my sons are there from where they're assisting and preaching for me, and my family is all at my house from all parts of the country while I'm out here all by myself. So you're going to have to be my family tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Your pastor is indeed a very brave man. I got too much stuff. I got stuff in my pockets, and I need to lighten my load a little bit when I preach. Pastor in South Bend, Indiana, about 100 miles the other side of Chicago. I have been able to have seen most of California. I lived in Fresno when I was just a pup. Lived in Bakersfield, lived in Anaheim, lived in Santa Ana, lived in National City, lived in Vista, if I didn't already say Vista, lived in Bakersfield. I lived in San Francisco. I went to 25 schools growing up, and I got to see how a little bit of some of the world lives. Somehow my roots have been changed from California and the West Coast to the cold East, and for 25 years plus I have been the pastor there in South Bend, and a couple years before that I was the associate pastor. And know what it's like to have evangelized for a number of years prior to that time. I have a very precious church, and I kind of wish I was there tonight. And besides all of that, I get to kiss and hug all my grandbabies and my kids. I have 5 children. And I get a big kiss from my wife right there, and another big kiss from my wife right there, and a great big kiss just right there. So I'm missing a lot by being here. I hate to impose on anybody, and I didn't call your pastor up looking for a place to try to preach. I just wanted to come, if y'all had a prayer meeting, just join in, maybe get my soul fed. But since I'm here, and it falls my lot to stand here, my prayer is that God will help me to be a blessing. And I want us to go home full of the Holy Ghost tonight. How about you? Don't know what you're used to hearing, and I don't know how to preach any other way than just act like my... be at home. Just act like I'm at home. Is that all right? Amen. Praise God. I will do my best to be very mindful of the time, and I would appreciate your indulgence. I looked at this building, and I asked your pastor who pastored this in maybe the 50s and early 60s. It looked very familiar to me, even when I pulled up on the outside, and it seems like my folks were here many, many years ago, when Daddy was evangelizing and we got opportunity to travel with him. When your father is an evangelist for 25 years and a pastor for 25 years, you get to see a little bit how the other half of the world lives. And even to this point, I still preach out probably 20, weeks, minimum a year, or parts of weeks. And I don't know if I'm a full-time pastor and a part-time evangelist, or a part-time pastor and a full-time evangelist. Maybe I didn't say that. Maybe I said the same way twice. Alzheimer's is getting bad, I'm telling you. You know what I mean. Well, Father, please don't glory to Dios and everything else. Amen. I'm reading tonight from the book of 2 Timothy. Capítulo 2, chapter 2. Actually, you would think with a name like Martin Jose Ballesteros that I would learn a little bit about speaking Spanish. However, it was not spoken in my home. I can just barely make it through Jack in the Box. But I'm glad there's one language that we do speak, and that's the language of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There was a division of tongues in Genesis chapter 11, but there was a bringing back together, a family in Acts chapter 2, and God used the tongue to do that again. I'm glad I received this precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and I would like to read verse number 21. Well, why don't I just back up and read verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Heavenly Father, I ask your blessing upon the ministering of the word tonight. Would you help me to be a blessing to your people? You know what we need. You know how to speak to every heart. Oh God, you alone have the key. You alone have the words to all of our hearts. Would you be pleased to have your way in this service? Help me, O God, to help your people. You know, O God, the words that should be spoken. Anoint our ears to the hearing of the word. These things I pray and I ask in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Wonderful Jesus. Blessed be your name. Oh my God, thy name be praised. Oh Jesus, 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 Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Shake hands with a neighbor and you may be seated. It's so special for me to be here, and I have never had the privilege of getting to sit down and talk to your pastor before. I know him only by reputation, and I'm so happy that if I had to break down anywhere, that at least it was a place where you get to have an opportunity to be in service with somebody who believes this old-time apostolic message. Amen. Many years ago, as a small child, I found myself in a church in Columbus, Indiana, where my father was the pastor. Probably about the fourth grade or so. And we had some visitors that came by and visited us. And they stood up and they testified. And they all testified the same thing. They said, I want to thank the Lord that I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. Pray for me, I'll go all the way with Him. Well, they all testified that same testimony, and after about 6 or 8 testimonies of saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, I kind of looked around a little bit. I'd never heard the word saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. In that progression, we normally just said, I thank the Lord I've been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, and living a holy life. That's about what we hear, know, and still say. But I have been looking of late at the word sanctified, and it has been more important to me of late than it has ever been. We're living in a day when people feel like it's just okay to live however they want to live. I'm not here to preach a clothesline message to you, but I'm here to preach a consecration message and tell you that it's important, church, for us to draw closer to God and do our best to keep our spirits right, our hearts right. We're living at the front porch, the front door, the coming of Jesus Christ. I want to be holy, for I know that He's holy. How about you? I never drink water when I preach, but my air conditioner went out in that little minivan that I'm driving. I got a 1988 minivan that I have here that blew a timing chain or belt, whatever that has in it. So they got me. So I'm here, but my Freon went out on the little car, so I've had the windows rolled down. And this air has kind of dried me out a little bit. So if I could get somebody maybe to bring me a glass of water, I would really appreciate it. I hope you don't see a windmill run by water tonight. I'll try to be very cognizant of that. I feel the good spirit of the Holy Ghost here tonight. I feel liberty in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. I preach by illustration, and would it be all right if I just kind of illustrate like I normally do at home? I came to see my mother, came into the house to see my mom one time when I was just a kid. And I don't know, third grade maybe or so, and I said, Mom, me and Bobby's playing in the dirt, and we're playing trucks. I need a pan to put some dirt in. And I had Mom's good pan. I had a real nice size, pretty pan that I had there. I said, Mom, be all right if I use this pan? She said, Boy, what's the matter with you? You know you're not supposed to use that pan. That's my good pan. That's what I cook roast in, and that's what I do. And she told me all that she did with it. She said, Now you go under the sink. You put that one back, and you go under the sink. And you get that old dirty pan under the sink. The one with the pink bag in it. That's the pan that you use to put dirt in. And when you're done, well, I'll clean it back out again. So Mom brought... I went outside and I played in the dirt with the pan that Mom had let me play with. Well, time rocked on, and after a while, I grew up a little bit more, maybe a couple more years, and one day the dog needed to be fed. And went out there, and the dog's dish was broken. So I said, Mama, Ginger needs to be fed. And I've got Mama's nice pan out there again. It says, All right, if I put dog food in this? She said, My Lord, no. Well, she didn't say my Lord. She said, You can't put dog food in there. She said, Don't you ever do that. She said, that we don't let the dog eat out of the food, out of the pan that we cook our food in. You go back underneath that sink and you go get that old pan that you used to put dirt in. Go get that one. That's the pan that you feed the dog in. So we fed the dog out of that pan, and when we got done and got a day or two roll around, we got the dog its dish. Mom put Clorox or Purex or Ajax or scouring pads or whatever she did in that. And that pan wound up being back underneath the sink again. Whatever for, I don't know. But then I kind of got a little older and I got out of high school and got me a car. Had an old 55 Ford, and one day I decided I need to change the oil. So I brought Mama's pan back out again. Mom, I can't find anything to put the oil in. Would it be all right if I put the oil in this? Y'all got a real whiz-bang preaching here tonight, don't you? And I brought this pan out to put the oil in. And she said, you can't put the oil in that. That's what I cook. And she listed me all the stuff that she cooked in. She said, you go back underneath that sink. Get the pan that you put dirt in. Get the pan that you fed the dog in. That's the pan you change the oil in. And so that's what I did. I would hope that they would bring water to me, but they're taking stuff away from me. They've been looking all over the building for some, hold the water in. All right. You say, Brother Ballester, what is your point with all of that? I would tell you, first of all, I don't believe in eternal security. It is possible to put dirt in here. You actually could do it. It is actually possible to let the dog eat out of this. I could have used this pan to change the oil in, and it would have held the oil. But I have just destroyed the whole purpose of the existence of this pan. This is the first lesson my mother ever taught me about being sanctified. To be sanctified means to be set apart. And mother had set this pan apart. She had sanctified this pan to cook for her family. This pan wasn't sanctified. Dirt went in there. Dog food went in there. Oil went in there. Trash went in there. That wasn't a sanctified one. This was the sanctified one. My whole point with that story is your life is supposed to be a sanctified life. You can put drugs in it if you want to. You can put alcohol in it. It's possible for you to put it in it. You can put filth and pornography in your vessel, but you have just destroyed the whole purpose of that sanctified vessel. The book talks about you keeping and possessing your vessel in sanctification and in honor. I want to keep my spirit right. I want to keep my heart right. I want to possess my vessel in sanctification and honor. I don't want to destroy what God has made with my heart here. How about you? This is no time to play games with the things of God. This is no time to play with the Holy Ghost. God's still coming for a holy church. Holiness is still God's lowest standard. Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Maybe I've just kind of had it, because in the town where I live in, within 15 miles of me, you can go to 37 churches that baptize in Jesus' name and believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. 37. All you have to do is just kind of decide what you want to believe, and that kind of determine where you want to go. But there is one church in my town that belonged to the UPC and no longer does. But last year, my daughter got married in that building. And we walked in there, and my son, who pastors in Florida, looked up there, and there was no pulpit on the platform. And he said, oh, did you have some kind of drama or a wedding or something in your church this week where you took your pulpit out? They said, no. We had a move of the Holy Ghost come through here in April. And they said, this was last October. And they said, we took the pulpit out. Because of that move of God, we took the pulpit out of the church. Well, let me tell you, it never would have dawned on me when we have a move of the Holy Ghost that, oh, we got a move of the Holy Ghost, let's go take the pulpit out of the church. What they're doing, they're removing every symbol of a pastor out of their life.
They're removing every symbol of submission out of their world. They're removing every symbol of the Word of God out of that church. Let me tell you, worship is a wonderful thing. You got to have it. But it takes a combination of Word and worship, Spirit and truth. You can't move the book out of your life. The book is right. You got to stand by the book. And as long as you live, you better thank God that God gave you a pastor and God gave you a man of God that will stand up and preach the Word of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is no time to get the pulpit out of your church. This is no time to take the book out of your church. Let me tell you what's happening. They have girls, teenage girls, in shorts on Sunday morning taking up the offering. They have men in shorts teaching Sunday school class all summer long. Folks, the Baptists and the Methodists don't even do that. When you lose your revelation for being sanctified, and you lose your revelation of holiness, you're going to lose your revelation of the Godhead. Because God said, "I am holy." Thank God for the privilege to be in a church that loves the Word of God, that loves the holiness of God, that believes in being set apart, being separated from the world. We have gangs in my town. You can tell what gang they belong to by what colors they wear. You can tell them by the signs that they give you. Israel declared to the whole wide world and to themselves who they were. They wore a little ribbon of blue around the borders of their garment, the hem of their garment. Let everybody reminded themselves and everybody else, "We're not like everybody else. We are different from you. We are different from the world. I am not under bondage. I choose to be a child of God." This is the most liberated you could ever feel. God delivers you from the spirit of bondage when He delivers you out of the world. There is freedom and joy in the Holy Ghost. It is an honor to live for God. It is an honor to hold up the blood-stained banner. Now in the Old Testament, from the very day that it was created, the very day that it was born, the very day that it was made, the very day of its inception or conception, things were sanctified. They were sanctified, and the Lord, Samson was a Nazarite from birth, dedicated unto God not to drink strong drink as long as he lives. Why? I'm sanctified unto God. The tabernacle was sanctified. The priests were sanctified. The garments were sanctified. The altar was sanctified. The laver was sanctified. The altar of incense was sanctified. The table of shewbread was sanctified. The shewbread on top of it was sanctified. The incense on the altar was sanctified. The candlestick was sanctified. The oil in it was sanctified. The veil was sanctified. The Ark of the Covenant was sanctified. I'm telling you, everything about that was spoke of sanctification. You could sanctify your house. You could sanctify a field in the Old Testament. Things were sanctified from the day they came into your possession, or you made them, or it was born. That's how things were in the Old Testament. And once something became desecrated, it was cast aside because it had been defiled. God was very careful about that. You touch something dead, see, you're sanctified. You belong to me. You touch dead stuff, then you go wash and be clean. You might even have to sit outside the city gates for a while because you're supposed to be sanctified unto me. I don't want you fooling with dead stuff. There's no future there. There's no life there. And we are living in a day when folks are playing games with worldliness. People don't come up to me and say, "Pastor, what can I do to get more spiritual?" But they ask me questions. Is it all right if we do this? Is it all right if we do that? Is it all right if we do this? Is it all right if we do that? And you know what they're really asking me? How much can I get away with? How much can I get away with and still be filled with the Holy Ghost? Honey, this is not a contest to see how close to the edge we can get. This is not a time to see how close to the fire we can get without being burnt. Let's get as far away from the edge as we can get. If we ever drew nigh to the Holy Ghost and get into the spout where the glory comes out and find ourselves wrapped up in the presence of God, it's now! Now, this wouldn't happen in California, but in Indiana, we got some folks that don't know whether or not they're holiness or not. Now, folks, I have been in several different fellowships. I happen to be in the UPC at this time. But I have been in different fellowships. I have even been an official in other fellowships. I have been independent. I have seen how most of Pentecost heals and preaches and things that happen. And I tell you, we fight in a common disease wherever we go. I think we ought to look more and more like old-time Pentecost instead of more and more like the world. Amen. If it gets in my heart, it's going to start showing somewhere. You can tell when folks got it in their heart. They start getting their hands up in the air and start praising God. They start talking right. They start living right. They start doing right. Hallelujah to God. I'm not a... The pastor said you kind of had a Bible study here tonight, so I'm kind of teaching a Bible study. And I'm doing that from memory. My notes are no telling where they are. So I'm just... And I just wrote three or four things. I could remember the Scripture where to start from, and the Lord's going to have to help me with the rest of it. Maybe I shouldn't even be doing this. But what I do know is that we're living in a just kind of a haphazard spirit that gets a hold of folks. I find out in the Old Testament that people wanted to be careful and they worried about cleansing of themselves and they wanted to be clean. I hear the cry of a David that said, "Oh God, wash me, purge me, make me clean." Do you understand, folks? Do you appreciate what we have here in an apostolic church? I don't care if you were a father or if you were a mother that had problems raising your family even when you were a sinner. And you're coming into church now. The church is a wonderful opportunity for you to rectify all the problems of your yesterday. You might have been a bad father. You might have been a drunkard. Or you might have been even physically abusive or you might have said things that you shouldn't have said to your kids. I want you to know when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, it changes your nature. It makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And if your nature isn't changed, you got a different Holy Ghost than I've got. Well, I'll declare. I got tickled today. I saw a little bumper sticker that said, "Repent means stop." I like that. The Bible talked about confess and forsake your sins. It means stop. How many know what I'm talking about? By the time you get to the New Testament, it looked like the Lord was specializing in getting things that were no good and cleaning them up. Things not like that. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And He got stuff that nobody else wanted. Things that was despised. Things that were base. Things that were not. He took things that were nothing and made something out of them. There's no point you and I coming in here and bragging about what we used to be. We were nothing when God got a hold of us. I'm telling you, it's a privilege and honor to be a child of the King. Don't be bragging about what you had and what you were. You didn't give up anything to be in the church. You didn't give up anything to have the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, you were blessed when you walked in here. You were nothing before God found you. I got the Holy Ghost in National City for the Lehman Reynolds Church. And there was a tall woman named Betty Picklesheimer
Ted Molander was a children's... I think he was my Sunday school teacher at the time. And Betty Picklesheimer, who was a vice president of the bank, walked in there. My dad was preaching revival. And she sat down in the back row. Three-piece business suit on, drove a little green... seemed like it was green convertible Austin Healey. Well, no, you were about 15 years old, and you know, a young woman, 20s, late 20s, that comes in there, and she's single anyway, but you didn't care, whatever. You just thought maybe I could drive this little car around a little bit, even without a driver's license. It just looked like something that'd be nice to drive, at least around the parking lot, and you know, scare some of the mothers. And she sat there, vice president of the bank, three-piece business suit on. My father preached. She came to the altar, repented, got baptized, got the Holy Ghost in the baptistry. So the next day, she's back at church. There's a little Spanish lady praying for the Holy Ghost. Betty Picklesheimer is right there in her ear, just talking, just hollering in her ear. My father thought, what in the world would this brand new convert know to say to this seeker? So my dad gets down there just in time to hear her say, "Tell him you're stupid. Tell him you're ignorant. Tell him you don't know nothing." So that's what I told him, and he gave me the Holy Ghost. God don't want to hear how good you are. He don't want to hear about how smart you are. He don't want to hear about how much you have or all you can do. He just wants you to say, "God, I need you. I want you. I'm nothing without you. I've got to have you. You're everything and I'm nothing, God. You're high and I'm low. You're holy, I'm filthy. My God, you're everything and I'm nothing. I need you." When's the last time you told God you needed Him? When's the last time you say, "God, you're everything and I'm nothing"? The more you find yourself in the presence of God, the more you realize His holiness is there. And you say, "God, I'm in your awesome presence and I want to stand clean, my heart clean, my spirit clean as I stand before you." Praise God. Let's worship the Lord right now, shall we? Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody get me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9 to verse number 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 9. No, I want somebody to read it. Hold it. Hold it. You may be seated. Keep your finger on that place. I want to have you finish that in just a minute. Got a phone call. Pastor Blestrio, Ballesterio, they never can get my name right back there in Indiana. And I tell them I'm not the stereo. My father was a stereo. I'm the hi-fi or something. He said, "Hi, my name is Bob." And this is the second Bob I've used in this message. He said, I was talking to a member of your church and I see that baptism in Jesus' name is essential for salvation. He said, "I would like to be baptized in Jesus' name, but I don't want to become a member of your church. AA," he said, "is my church." Well, he called me at a bad time, I guess. I flunked that that Bill Carnegie course. And I said, well, let me say this to you. His name was Bob Stevenson. I said, if you say you want to be baptized, but you don't want me to baptize you, but you don't want to be a member of my church because AA is your church, I said, why don't you get AA to baptize you? He said, because AA doesn't baptize people. I said, that's right, they don't. And you know why they don't? He said, well, why don't they? I said, because they're not a church. Well, he still wanted to be baptized. I said, well, before I baptize you, we have a little Bible study I'd like for you to go through with me. And so we set him down and we proceeded. Well, he said, you know, I've been an alcoholic for 17 years. I've been an alcoholic and I've just had this problem. But I've been sober. And he told me how many years he'd been sober. And we were sitting there on a little table, one across from another. And we came across 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Read the first verse, verse 9, one more time. The first part of verse 9. The unrighteous are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Bob, you understand that? Unrighteous folks aren't going to inherit the kingdom of God. And I started coming right down the list, and I got to the word drunkards. And I said, uh-oh. Bob, look right here. It says you're going to hell. He said, my Lord, it does. He said, would you highlight or underline that scripture for me? I said, sure, no problem. So I highlighted that. And I said, now let me show you. Let me show you the difference between AA, or Alcoholics Anonymous, and an apostolic church. Read verse 11. Hold it. And such were some of you. But now you've been... You're washed. But you're sanctified. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I said, Bob, it says right here, such were some of you. Notice the past tense, were. I said, at AA, you stand up and you say, hi, my name is Bob, and I've been an alcoholic for 17 years. I said, in the Jesus name, apostolic tongue-talking church, we stand up and say, praise the Lord, my name is Bob, and 17 years ago, Jesus delivered me from alcohol. I don't drink no more. And such were some of you. But now you've been washed. Now you've been sanctified. Now you've been justified. Aren't you glad that God knows how to clean up an old life? Aren't you glad God knows how to wash you and make you ever went whole and clean again? Thank you, Jesus. Now you've been washed. Let's talk about that washing. We've sung two songs in this church service tonight about the blood. Thank God for the washing of the blood. I can't believe I'm doing this. There's a lady in my church named Barbara White. Barbara White has a brother-in-law who's one of them kind of backsliders, in and out, up and down, in and out. Let me tell you, if you're here tonight, you're not where you ought to be in God. I'm sorry that you're not. But don't let the devil try to talk you out that front door and tell you never to darken the doors of the house of God again. It is ignorant and it is stupid for you to feel that God doesn't love you, that nobody in this church loves you, that this is not the place for you to be, that your best friends are out there in the world somewhere. You're going to find the most hope and the most help in the whole wide world right inside this building right here. Your pastor's the best friend you could ever have. I said your pastor's the best friend you could ever have. I hope to God you treat your pastor with love and honor and respect. God said if you lived right and you did right and you were the right kind of people, He would give you pastors after His own heart. Don't hold the office of the pastor in light esteem, but everything you do, you honor the man of God.
I have children in my church whose parents I baptized and whose parents I married them. And when they were little, I used to pat them on the head, you know, and high five them, whatever. But they grew up. They graduated. They got married. They had kids. And first thing they do, they bring their babies up to see Brother Ballestero. Here, give Brother Ballestero sugar on the cheek, you know, give him a big hug. And they teach their babies to love me. When you teach your children to love the man of God, you're buying your family an insurance policy. But when you talk about the man of God, talk about the pastor, your kids are going to walk right out the door. They're not going to believe anything the pulpit says. Amen. You'll bless your house by holding up the hands of the man of God and his wife and loving them. Do everything you can. Do anything you can to love them and make their life easier. You men need to know what it's like to get his car every week and wash it up for him. I see y'all holding the door open for him coming in, all rising up when he gets in. Do everything you can to honor and respect him. You say, well, don't give me any sass. It's the office of God that God's put there that you're honoring, no matter who fills that office. Amen. He has a guest evangelist in. Don't let him carry the whole load of taking. Of entertaining the past evangelist or whatever all by himself. You all cook meals and bring stuff in. If you, I had a bunch of ministers come in one night. I think I had maybe 11 or 12. One brother came up to me, handed me $90. He said, here, Pastor, this is to help take some of those folks out to eat. Well, thank you, Jesus.
You said, well, I thought the church was going to pay for all that.
Yeah, don't you see the steeple on my head? Listen, when your pastor has you evangelists come by here to preach, and I'm not talking about myself because I wasn't invited. I just dropped in to be with y'all. But I preach this way everywhere I go, okay? But you want to have good church, you hold up the hands of your Moses just like Aaron and Hur held the hands up. And you watch, give this church victory and give this church revival and give this church a move of the Holy Ghost. I don't know why I'm saying this, but God must know why I'm saying this. Let me tell you something else. I don't know what kind of positions anybody has here, but we got any office holders or you got anybody in position, trustees or whatever. You need to pray to God that God will give you the wisdom and give you the strength to stand by your pastor, not be at war and odds with the pulpit, but say, Pastor, we're standing shoulder to shoulder to help you fight the good fight of faith right here in this city and win this town for the name of Jesus. I'm talking English to you, folks. I hope you understand it. Might be a little strong meat for some folks, but it's so anyhow. Oh, Lord. I don't know what that... Well, that's how sanctified folks act. Maybe that's the way I can make that one fit. I don't have to get a hammer big enough to make that one go in place. I don't know. But I thank God for... You know, there is just some saints and there's some folks that are just... A pastor's friend, that they're there when you need them. You know, this the same old same folks that just worship, that lead in worship, the ones that shout, the ones that volunteer, the ones that help. Make yourself available for the work of God. Quit withdrawing from offices and positions and duties, but make yourself available. Look for things to do around the house of God. Keep yourself busy working for the kingdom of God, and God will bless you and honor you for it. That's all the announcements. Just because I'm bald up here don't mean I'm dead, folks. Barbara White had a brother-in-law that was in and out, up and down. I saw my daddy reach for sinners, reach for backsliders over the years. I saw him be merciful to people that had problems. I didn't know till I was 47 years old that my father was a gang leader. East Los Angeles. You've heard of the Crips and the Bloods, various gangs. That was my father. His dad, uncles, all with the police department. My dad in the gang leader.
He didn't talk much about it in his book. Quite modest in that respect. He did wind up, however, being arrested, sentenced, and went to San Quentin prison. I never knew my father had gone to San Quentin until I was 47 years old, and as an editor, I was asked to edit his book for him. My father never stood up and said, "Come and hear an ex-convict preach." He figured that the gospel ought to be able to stand on its own 2 feet without having somebody trying to sell it. I didn't know that my own daddy had been a backslider. But can I tell you, the love and the mercy of God is something wonderful and something special. My father was afraid that his daughters wouldn't love him as much when they found out that he'd been in prison. Actually, it made us love him all the more when we saw what he had been through. His father was Catholic. His mother was Assembly of God. She died when he was 4, on the streets all of his life. He was in, I think he ran away from 11 different foster homes. It wasn't an easy life for him. Daddy never talked much about his. One there was, I saw, however, the pieces all begin to fit together when I read this, and Dad and I sat down then and talked about it. But I saw how he reached for backsliders and people that had problems. And can I tell you that everybody here needs help? We all just need help in different areas. We all have different kinds of problems, and there's no sense you lying to yourself and telling you, "I don't have any needs." Yes, you do have problems. And the day we feel satisfied, the day we feel like we've got it made, is the day we start to have problems. But this, this is the third time to tell this story, and I keep getting sidetracked. But Barbara's brother-in-law, Bob, had backslid. Felt like it was hopeless. The devil said, "God doesn't love you anymore. There's no hope for you. You'll never be able to pray back through. You can't be saved." He worked at this company that some kind of chemical or product stained his hands so bad that for nearly a dozen years his hands had never come clean because they had been just dirtied by this stuff that was there. He tried Purex, Clorox, nothing could get the stain out. It was just like stains in his skin. One day at work, Bob, the third Bob, I'm going to have to broaden my circle of people and meet a Jeff or a Bill or somebody. If you're here, your name's Tom or something, see me after church. I'd just like to meet somebody else. When you run the aisles, be a little bit more careful. You don't want to come to my church. It's a concrete block right there. You will stop. But he cut himself at work. Bad. Blood squirting everywhere. He fell on the floor. Grabbed a rag, wrapped it around his hand to stop the bleed and tried to find a pressure point. Didn't know what to do. Somebody said, "Call 911. I said, no, that's not a problem. I said, I'll just go to... we have what they call med points, just a little place you can go, and doctors are there. They can sew you up without going to the hospital, and you know you get adequate services there. Yeah, I'll just go down here to med point." And he opened that up, and he took the rag, and he started wiping the blood away to look at the wound. And he began to sob, and he convulsed, and his shoulders shook and heaved. And he fell forward on his face, blood just running out on the ground, began to cry and weep uncontrollably. They said, "Oh my God, call 911. Bob, what's the matter?" I said, "Bob never cries over anything, and he's crying now. What's the matter with Bob?" He cried some more, and he looked up and said, "Don't call 911. He held up his hand. He said, "See that blood?" He said,
See, remember where all those stains were on my hand? That blood has washed all those stains away. He said, the Lord just did that to show me that His blood will wash away all the stains of my soul, and that's why I'm crying. I want you to know that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash your stains away. The blood of Jesus Christ will make you whole and complete in Him again. You don't have to live your life filthy. I don't care what you've been stained by. And folks, we have all been stained by something. We have all been affected by the stains of sin. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. See why they don't let me sing at home? Thank God for the blood. Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus Christ tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got a man that comes down my alley every now and then, and he's got a trash bag on his back. And every time I look at him, I'm kind of reminded of Jesus and this scripture that says, "And such were some of you, but now you've been washed." This man goes through my trash. I really don't like folks to go through my trash. It's my trash. It ain't no good. I don't want it. But I don't want you wanting it neither. If I want you to have it, I'll give it to Goodwill. I'll put it out on the front of my property. But if I stick it in a plastic bag in my trash, don't be digging it out. You understand. I don't go out and stop anybody. But he picks up old stuff. And I watch him take his sleeve and kind of... And he'll look at that, and it looks to me like he's wondering, now what can I use that for? It's been broken. Boy, I like this microphone set up here because it makes a lot of noise. What do you think Jesus thought when He found you? He saw an old life wrapped up in sin, wrapped up in the world, wrapped up in no good. And the Lord looks at a life and said, no, if I wash a little bit here and there, I think this one will clean up all right. Oh. And He who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, came down among men to where we were. He took us who were filthy, used His name in vain, smoked dope, drank liquor, went to places we ought not to be going to. He looked at lives that were filthy, minds that were no good, and while we were yet sinners, He loved us. Oh, why she should ever care for me will always be a mystery. He holds the whole world in His hands, but what am I? I tell you, I don't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. I don't deserve to have the trash man come by and pick me up. But all I can say is, oh, thank God. Thank God He picked me up. Thank God He included me. He didn't leave me on a trash heap. He didn't leave me on the pile of sin. But He included me and those that He made up His church with. This is no place for me to brag on my goodness or you to brag on your goodness. I don't qualify to be here. You don't qualify to be here. It's the mercies. It's the grace. It's the patience of God that's made it possible for you to be here. I'm telling you, it's an honor to be a child of God. It's a privilege to have your sins washed away. You don't have to have your sins on your back. You don't have to live full of sin. You can come and let Jesus wash away your sin
sanctify you, clean you up, and make you the new and clean person again. And when He justifies you, it makes it just as if it never happened at all.
I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight.
I said, I feel the Holy Ghost here tonight. I don't know what God wants to do in this service, but I do know this one thing, that He knows how to wash. He knows how to make clean. And when God washes, He does a complete job. Don't tell me that God, you don't know how you can ever live the life or how you can ever make it. If God washes on you and God sanctifies you and God justifies you, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Oh, my God, my God, my God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Listen to me. Entertain the presence of the Lord. Keep on praying. I don't know why God chooses to walk down some aisles and pull this one out of a family. Reach down and touch this life. Reach over here and touch this life here. I don't know why God chooses you and picks you up out of a life of sin and cleans you up and makes you whole again. All I know is you and I are privileged. And it's a God's blessing and honor for us to be here. You ought to be grateful and humble about it the longest day that you live, that God has provided you a place to come. None of us deserve to be here, but I am grateful that I can bow my knee before a throne of grace and say, thank God, you found me just in time. My God, I was lost and on the way to the devil's hell, but you got a hold of me and picked me up and washed me up and changed my life. While we still continue to pray, I'm just going to go ahead and give an altar call right now. I think right now would be a good time to pray. You want to make your way down to the front. You want to thank God for the privilege of being able to bow your knee here. You want to let God know that you want to be washed. You want to be sanctified. You want to be justified. You need to say that yes to Him tonight. Let me tell you, all you got to do is say, God, forgive me of all of my sins. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, all you got to do is repent. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. He'll forgive you, and you can be washed in blood in baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, and the Lord will fill you with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. Hallelujah. Let's pour our hearts out to God tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Everybody here believes in prayer. Let's don't go home without talking to God. Let's don't go home without bowing our knee before God tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Come to the Lord.